Hello, friend. Welcome back to another episode of the Shanti Ma podcast. This is episode 18. In today's episode, I sit down with the powerful Rafael Garay. His journey began well over a decade ago after being incarcerated and nearly losing everything. That rock bottom struggle forever changed the trajectory of his fate, forging him into the highly successful business coach, entrepreneur, and inspiring human that he is today. In this episode, Rafael shares his process for self-mastery, personal development, and then shift into the mindset that is essential for transformation. I really enjoyed this conversation and spent most of the podcast trying to absorb as much as I could. There was seriously so much information that I think my brain slowed down in an attempt to get it all in, so hopefully I don't sound as slow as I felt. I'm incredibly fascinated by individuals like Rafael, the ones who seem to be up against all odds and overcome their situations regardless and become totally badass. Today's episode is a good reminder that there really is no excuse. If you don't like who you are today, you absolutely have the power to become the person you like tomorrow. It's hard work, but stories like this prove that it's worth it. If you enjoy this episode, please head over to Apple and leave a review. You can also subscribe to stay up to date. I'm currently only able to release 2 episodes a month as I'm editing and producing it all myself, on top of trying to finish my book, build my website, art collages, health, mind, and all the other stuff humans do. With that said, sharing your favorite episode is a great way to support the show. I'm just a lady trying to spread positive messages to others who could also use a lift in this equally crazy and beautiful world. If you share an episode on IG, please make sure to tag me so I can reshare your post. Welcome to my podcast, Raf.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. It's finally worked out.
Finally, we made it happen.
Yes. So I wanted to have you on the podcast because, as you know, our good friend, Samuel Rivera, had highly recommended you. And for anybody who's listening who has not gone and checked out Sam's latest video, no, it would be the second to last video, but Rafael was on, featured in one of his videos, and it was fantastic. And it's called The Wrong Path. And yeah, I just think you have a really fascinating story of how you went through a lot of difficulties in your own journey, and now you're just kicking ass. So let's start at the beginning and go from there.
Sure. Well, you know, for me, I can give you the full story, but I'll condense it for you. I'll make it really short. Because really, I started my journey, I always say 2 weeks before I was born. And that's when my biological father had passed away in an accident. And the reason that I start my story there is simply because I ended up really angry as a teenager, and I never really understood why. And looking back, it's because I lost my father, and I had a stepfather who came into my life, which is an amazing man, by the way. But as a young budding teen, there's somebody who's not your parent who's telling you what to do. And it really, inside me, for some reason, I just grew this tremendous anger and resentment. And it manifested itself with me first just getting in little trouble here and there. And little trouble over the years really turned into big trouble. By the time I was in my late teens to early 20s, I was the complete opposite of what you see right now. I was a violent drug dealer, and I ended up incarcerated. And for me, you know, a lot of people ask me, they say, Raf, was rock bottom when you were incarcerated? And not really, because at that time, my anger was so much that I really didn't have emotion running through me. what I did have was a very, very close relationship with my mother. I love my family. My family's always been my everything. And she essentially raised me 2 weeks after she buried my father. And rock bottom for me was her coming to visit me. And she looked at me and said, I'm never coming back here. You need to figure it out. Whatever it is that you're going through, fix it, and I'll see you when you get home. And what's kind of difficult about that for me to tell people is the words that she said to me were a little deeper than that. And I don't really share this with everyone, but I'll share it with you on the podcast, was that she said, you know, I buried your father 2 weeks before you were born, and I didn't want to live anymore. And I kept going because I thought that one day I was going to see him inside of you, and you're not him.
Wow.
That was my rock bottom, losing the person who meant the most in the world to me. At the time, when I tell you I was angry and violent, I was explosively violent to the point where my siblings were afraid of me. I would never hurt them, but they would just see me erupt. And it just caused the dynamic where there was a lot of distance between me and my family, the people who meant so much to me. That day, everything inside my brain shifted in an instant. And I knew right then and there that no matter how deep I was, because I really had fallen deep, I was serving time, I had violent crimes, I had drug crimes underneath me. And I didn't think there was any way to really climb out of that. But I told myself that no matter what happens, I'm going to make it out of this, and I'm going to make myself a better person. So I went on really this, what ended up being a personal development journey that still continues to this day, trying to be a better person. First, trying to figure out why it is that I was so angry. Then trying to take everything that was going on inside me, play a different narrative in my head, start asking myself different questions instead of why is this happening, asking myself, how can I use this? And from there, you know, to make the long story short, as I stand right now, I'm a motivational speaker and a business coach. The journey was a long one, but my goal had always been to really take what I learned and inspire people. That no matter where you are in your life, if I can pick myself up out of there, up out of prison, come back into society, be not just a normal person, but someone who is giving back, someone who has, I guess, quote unquote, made it. And when I say made it for me, I'm happy. That's really what making it for me really means. I'm very financially successful. I climbed the corporate ladder. I had a very big time job, I guess you can say. Was a businessman in New York City. I worked in advertising. I walked away from that because it no longer served me. And now I get to help other people. I get to help other people to take their dream, those things that you feel are unrealistic, and I can teach them to do it for a living so they can wake up every single day and do something that they love. And for me, there's no amount of money, no amount of anything that will equate to the feeling I get from waking up and feeling gratitude, knowing that I'm so happy with where I am and what I've accomplished, and knowing that I have an opportunity to touch other people's lives. So that's my story in a nutshell. Went from just a complete train wreck, trying to figure it out, and where I am right now, still growing, still evolving, still figuring things out, but nonetheless, still trying to make my mark by inspiring other people and pushing them to go after their dreams.
So interesting. Yeah, you have a very interesting story. It's awesome though, because, you know, when you go through something so difficult and then to sit where you are today, that is inspiring. So, you know, I wanted to actually come back to a couple different things that you said.
Sure.
So for you, after being incarcerated and kind of going through the system and all of that, and then also for, you know, the rage that you struggled with previous to that, was there like an adjustment period? And I'm sure there was, but what did that adjustment period look like, kind of trying to integrate back into society? Because once you have those labels, and you know, I feel like I've heard that it's very difficult to find work, get jobs and opportunities because you now have this sort of like stain. How did you work through that? And then some of the, maybe the second part of the question is maybe some of like, did you have like some guilt and, you know, shame stuff you had to work through that period as well?
Absolutely. So as for the first part of your question, reintegrating into society, it was a very slow process. And once you are in the system, you have to do something. They don't just let you not do anything. So I had a choice. My, you know, you have like a parole officer, and she said, well, you have an option. You either go to work or you go to school. And I did both. So I actually went to school for massage therapy at the time. I figured, you know what? I want to work with athletes. I was very knowledgeable already in anatomy and physiology, only because I was very curious about it. And I had read books on my own about muscles, how the whole body works structurally. And I wanted to pursue that. So I started going to school and pursuing that path. At the same time, I had this battle going on in my mind where every day was a constant struggle. My light, so to speak, that went off in my mind was really reading a Tony Robbins book, Awaken the Giant Within. That's where the inward journey started. So at the time that I'm going on this outward journey, trying to reintegrate in society, I'm having this inward journey at the same time. And it wasn't an easy one. I think going inside yourself is probably one of the most difficult things that you'll ever have to do. Outside challenges are really easy to deal with. Those internal struggles that you have, those are oftentimes the biggest barriers that are going to prevent you from getting to wherever it is that you want to go in life. So constant personal development, diving deep into NLP, so neuro-linguistic programming, and really trying to reprogram my own mind. I was so angry. And when I tried to turn off the anger, it wouldn't shut off. And that actually made me depressed. So I had all these feelings, but what I had inside of me and what was my X factor was inspiration for me. I knew that every day, if I didn't wake up in a good space, which was 90% of the time when I was going through this period, I needed to do something to stay inspired, whether that was remembering my why, remembering back to when my mother came to see me, picturing what my life could be like if I made the changes, reading quotes, listening to motivational speeches, podcasts, anything I can do as soon as I wake up to get my mind out of the negative and into the positive. And I became a massage therapist. And interesting, because at the time, massage therapy was very loosely regulated in the state of New Jersey. So I went, I got my certificate, and I got a job. And I actually did that for 7 years. Really successfully. I worked at a clinic. I was the lead therapist there. And then I actually opened up an office on the side, and I worked with a chiropractor. And I had dreams of working with athletes. And 7 years into that career, the state laws in New Jersey just completely changed. And all of a sudden, massage therapy went under the Board of Nursing, and everyone had to get fingerprinted. And I ended up losing my career. So this is at almost 30 years old. I hadn't gotten in trouble. I've had some slips and stumbles, but because I had 7 years ago, all of that stuff on my record, I'm heading into like my 30th birthday, and I just was literally forced out of my career.
Oh my God.
I had to start all over again. At the same time, I went through a really horrible breakup in my life. I was previously engaged to someone that completely erupted and broke up very quickly. So I found myself again without a career, and I was going broke because it was months that went by that I couldn't get a job. Massage therapy really doesn't, it doesn't translate to any other skill. You know how to work with injured muscles, really doesn't translate to a desk job or really anything else. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, it was a really long journey, really tough. And I had to endure a lot. And then I always remember telling myself that it was me that put me there in the first place. So it was me that was going to get myself out of there. And the idea for me was take it one day at a time. Every single day I wake up, stay inspired, move forward, stay inspired, move forward, stay inspired and move forward.
Right. Yeah. I imagine that that would be a difficult period to kind of overcome, especially if it would kind of keep coming back. And you had said about the mornings being the hardest, and I can relate to that actually, because I went through sort of something dark a few years ago, and that was when I always found like the mornings were the hardest, like this heavy, it's like you wake up with a heavy, dark rain cloud. Mm-hmm. And so when that was going on, and then I think from there, from my understanding, you kind of developed a lot of strategies for like starting your day and kind of infusing your day with the kinds of things and energy that you want to have in your life and create for yourself. What are some of the things that you do in the mornings?
Yeah. You know, it was then really that I came up with the whole idea of mind body business. I had completely hit rock bottom again in my life, and I knew I needed to do something. So the first thing was I had this dream for some reason that I just wanted to be this New York City businessman. And I pictured myself in a suit walking through the streets of Manhattan. And so I put on a suit every single day. Meanwhile, I'm jobless for about 5 months. I'm completely out of money, behind on my rent, behind on my car payment. And I just knew I had to make something happen. And every single day I went into the city with my resume, which again, didn't translate to anything. And I just kept moving. I just kept pressing forward. And finally, I got an opportunity. I got an opportunity at this small little place that it was probably 3 or 4 person company, a recruiting agency. And they gave me a job there. And that was my window. And I kept telling myself every day, mind, body, business, mind, body, business. So waking up in the morning for me was the start. As soon as we wake up, we tend to let our mind race and we think of things. For some people, it's their mind racing to email. For other people, it's the worry starts to creep in. It's hard for some reason for a lot of people just to wake up and start thinking about the things that are really awesome in life. For some reason, our brains tend to steer in another direction. So for me, I developed a morning routine. And I have it till this day. It's become a little bit more intense. And people hear my morning routine. They say, Raf, that's pretty crazy. They don't realize for me, it was more of a survival mechanism. So the first thing I do, I'm typically up between 4:30 and 5 o'clock in the morning. Immediately before I even get out of bed, I think of 3 things that I'm grateful for. And I do not get up until I have those pieces of gratitude firmly implanted in my heart. And it usually takes me all of 15 seconds to do that. And I pop out of bed and right away I move into a breathing exercise. I do a pretty intense breathing exercise. And then I bring myself directly into meditation. As soon as I'm done with my meditation, I will journal. And then I am going into a pretty strenuous workout. I typically run 3 to 4 miles in the morning, followed by strength training. And for me, it's all about, number one, starting my day with gratitude, including breath work, including energy work, and movement into my life every single day. And what I'm doing is I'm changing my breathing. I'm changing my physiology. I am simply not allowing myself to be in a negative space. So that for me, starting my day that way, some people, you know, they look at it again and say, this is a really intense morning routine. It's become part of my life. And people say, man, you wake up in the morning and you're on fire. It's because I developed the tools. I don't wake up and I'm necessarily on fire, but by the time I am done with my morning routine, I am ready to rip the day in half. And that for me has been my anchor for years.
And so just for my own curiosity, do you do it in that order every single day?
It changes sometimes, but typically, I mean, the gratitude always. I might journal first. I might meditate first. But typically all of the still work comes before the heavy movement. Mm-hmm. I usually finish it off with my run and my strength training.
Mm. Do you have coffee?
Oh yes. Coffee is a must. Coffee is, that's like, that's an automatic.
Yeah. Cause this is like, the reason why I'm saying this is selfish and for my own curiosity, because I have been, also trying to develop I have a morning routine, but it's like, what do I do first? Because sometimes when I wake up, I'm like, oh man, I'm so tired that I almost need a coffee. But then if I drink my coffee before I meditate, my mind is going to start working too fast and start moving too quickly. But I actually have found that running, if I can run, I'll sometimes do like running and walking, but if I can do some like get my heart rate up first thing in the morning, it's so much different than, you know, skipping it. And then you go and you do like an afternoon workout or an afternoon run. It's not at all the same. It's definitely key to do it in the morning. Okay. Yeah. So where did the body mind business, where did that come from?
It was really during that time when I hit rock bottom again and I was struggling, and I told myself, number one, I can't let my mind slip back into the old patterns. I can't start thinking negative. I can't start telling myself this narrative of, oh, I got screwed over basically. And life just, you know, punched me in the face. I had to start telling myself something different. So I knew taking control of my mind and my focus, which was mainly through meditation, I knew that was critical for me every single day. And for me, the body, I was a competitive martial artist for years. So for me, I always knew that I felt best after a really hard training session. Mm-hmm. So for me, having a really strong and focused mindset and having a really strong body go hand in hand. You really can't have one without the other. Because you working out just by getting your blood moving is going to allow your brain to function better. Mm-hmm. So while I don't think that you need to be a competitive athlete, you don't need to be out there lifting crazy heavy weights or sprinting across a football field. But if you want to be the best you, you need to have some form of movement, some form of elevated nutrition that you're feeding yourself to keep yourself at a high level of energy and a high level of focus throughout the day. And then taking that energy and that focus, and for me, putting it into my business. And when I say business, I am a firm believer as a business coach that you should do the thing that you love for a living every single day. So many people walk into an office every day and they hate it. And then they get out of the office and there's this thing that they really love to do, but for them, it's maybe not realistic, or they don't know how to actually make it happen. So it just this thing that they never get to pursue, and they end up living their life halfway because they're going through Monday through Friday, running in an office, running out of an office, answering emails, doing this, doing that. They take a breath on the weekends and they get to live their life a little bit. And then Monday morning, they wake up and they go do something that they're not on fire about. And I think that is the absolute worst way to live your life. So for me, I was working in corporate, you know, when I got that little job in that small recruiting agency, I told myself, at the time, I said, I don't even know what job I'm going to get, but whatever it is, I'm going to be the best at it. I was the first one in the office. I was the last one out of there. I worked from probably 7 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night for 4 years straight. But not in that little agency. So I ended up getting a client, which I didn't know at the time. I just cold called them, happened to be the one of the largest media companies in the world. I ended up doing a few jobs for them. They were so impressed with me that they ended up hiring me. And from there, with no college degree, really only 3 months of recruiting experience and a really intense hunger, I got promoted 5 times in 5 years. I rose up through the ranks.
Wow.
I achieved what most people do in 15 years in 5. And I became someone who ran an entire department of recruiting. I had a team underneath me, recruited CEOs across the globe. And it was, you know, it was really surreal that that actually happened. But my business on the side was always coaching people. It was always, how do I take what I've learned and how do I help other people? So that was always the drive. And no matter how exhausted I was at the end of the day, I made sure that I put some effort in that business, the business that really lit me on fire. And that's the mind. That's a really long answer for a short question, but that is, for me, mind, body, business. You got to develop a really strong, razor sharp focus. Focus short term on the things that are right in front of you that you need to knock down, and focus long term on your dream and never negotiate on it. Make sure that you are feeding yourself so you have the energy to sustain your drive throughout the day, and make sure that your business, make sure the thing that you're pursuing is a thing that truly lights you up in your life.
Well, I can see that you're good at it, because as I'm sitting here, I'm like, I'm getting more motivated. But yeah, you know, I feel like for a lot of people, the motivation, because like when we're talking about motivation, it's like, I think a lot of it is developing discipline, because without the discipline, you don't have, like, how can you develop motivation for things if you don't have the discipline, you know? And I know in one of your videos I tuned into, you said, what's one thing that you can do for your body, your mind, and your business, like today, like on a daily level. And mm-hmm. I really liked that, because I think it is so easy, especially if you are still working a different job that you might not be super passionate about, but let's face it, you have to pay your bills.
Yeah.
To have something every single day where you're like, this is one thing I'm going to do for each section that's for bettering myself, my health, my life, my business. Because it's true, the idea of working into a job for the rest of your life. Actually, Sam and I were talking about this, where you basically at the end of your life go, oh my God, my life is, I didn't do anything that I loved, and it's now here I'm at the end and I have so many regrets. And I think it's so important for people to go after what they love. And also too, when you figure out what you're passionate about, other things in your life also seem to fall into place. Like, you don't realize how much one thing in your life can start to siphon your energy in like every mm-hmm. other area. So how often do you get people that come to you who are kind of still struggling with that? Not just, I wouldn't say necessarily motivation, but belief that they can accomplish what they want to, because that's a huge part of it, is the self-doubt.
Every single person I've worked with struggled with that. And it didn't matter. I've worked with entrepreneurs that were just starting their businesses, and I've worked with entrepreneurs that were just looking to take their business to the next level. And every time you level up, every time you hit a goal and you make a new one, that will start to creep in, the limiting beliefs. Can I do this? Is this even possible? Even as I continue to grow, it happens. But what you really have to do is a few things. Number one, you have to have a crystal, crystal clear vision of exactly where you want to go and exactly what you want your life to look like. And it can't be vague. I don't know. I'm kind of here. I'm kind of there. You need to be super specific. And there's an exercise that I bring the people that I work with through before I ever really dig into the work, is for them to paint this so clear vision of exactly where it is that they want to be in life. And that needs to be just burned into the front of your mind, because that's the thing that's going to pull you. Next thing you need to do is ask yourself why that thing, why that vision that you've painted for yourself, why that's important to you. And a lot of people say, well, oh, I just want to be happy in life and I want to do the things that I love. You need to dig one further and ask yourself, okay, why is it important that you're happy in your life? And why is it important that you do the things you love? And if you ask yourself why enough times, you're going to get down to the core of what truly drives you as a human being. And when you remember your true why, because a lot of people don't really go that deep, when you remember your true why, it will also allow you to think of what's on the other side. Because so many people, I've brought them to their true why, and their true why is, if I don't make this happen in my life, then my life will have been a waste and I will have lived my one existence on this planet, half of what I was meant to be. And that is really scary. Mm-hmm. So we're driven by things that give us pleasure, but we'll also run away from things that are really painful. So if you can remember your vision, also remember what happens to you if it doesn't happen. Like your life should be 100%. You should never settle on anything. I believe you can have anything that you want if you know exactly what it is and you start moving after it and you never stop. And then the final piece of the puzzle is realizing that human beings aren't motivated by perfection. We're motivated by progress. You have to take one step forward. And the key is, don't think about it. Just go. Because so many people will pause right before they make any move. And that's when you allow things to creep in your mind. Is this realistic? Is this going to happen? So I tell people, I wish there was some philosophical thing that I could tell you as that, like, what will keep you moving? No, you just have to go. You just have to move forward no matter what. Don't allow your brain is designed to keep you safe by evolution. Mm-hmm. The moment you do something that's remotely stressful, your heart's going to be a little faster. Your blood pressure is going to go up a little bit. The brain's going to think you're getting chased by a tiger. And what's it going to do? It's going to start running for safety. So before any of that happens, you just need to move forward. And for me, the discipline piece of it is just because I love myself. I'm disciplined and I do work when I'm tired, and I do a lot of things that I don't necessarily feel like at that moment. But I do it because I love myself. Now, I believe in rest. I'm not one of these people that's, hey, let's grind until our wheels fall off, because that's not sustainable and that's not a recipe for success. But you have to be willing to put in the work, whether it's external work or internal work. No matter what, you need to put in the work. And if you truly love yourself and your vision is compelling and you're making progress, it's that much easier to stay inspired and keep moving forward towards your dreams.
So what do you do when someone comes to you and they don't know what they want? And if someone is struggling with self-love?
Ask questions. So if we don't know what we want, we often do. So you start with, what makes you happy? What does your ideal life look like? Mm-hmm. And you start there. So you take out of the equation, you take out, what are you actually doing? Ask yourself, if I were to work and I was doing something I love, what would it give me? How often would I work? How many hours would I put in? Would I be sitting behind a desk? Would I be in front of people? Would I be traveling? Would I be doing this? So take away all of those like hard line facts and just ask yourself, if you were to just to paint a picture of what the life looks like, because many people may not know what it is they want to do, but they can paint a picture of what they would love their life to look like. So start with that. And then you can, by process of elimination, get rid of a lot of things that don't fit that equation. And then you can put things on the table that fit in and figure out, hey, what is it that's going to really drive you? What is it that your passions surround? And so many people don't know what it is they want to do because their passion, which they know it's is a passion of theirs, they don't believe it's even realistic. And I can't build a business around this. No, nobody's ever going to pay me for this. They don't know how, and they don't think it's possible. So they dismiss it. And when you show them, hey, guess what? I can show you how to do this. You can make a really good living doing this. It becomes easier for them. So the other part is self-love. So I do a lot of deep mindset work. So I'm a business coach, but there is nothing more that I can give to someone than the mindset work, because I can give you right now the recipe for a successful business. And I don't care what you do. I've built a successful business myself. I've helped other people build successful businesses. You tell me what you want to do, and I can help you get to where you want to go. I can give you that equation. If your mindset isn't there, if you don't believe, you have limiting beliefs, something that's holding you back, you are not going to make it. I can give you a business that's already running. And if your mind is in the garbage, that's exactly where the business is going to go. So you really have to start unraveling and asking questions as to why it is you don't love yourself. And it's never a vague answer. It's always something specific. And I studied NLP, and the process is very simple. NLP works on four premises, right? We have some type of stimulus. Something happened to us in our life. Could have happened when you were a kid. Next, what happens is you interpret that stimulus. Somebody yelled at you because you grabbed the candy. And then you think to yourself, well, I'm not deserving of candy anymore. So you interpret it a certain way. And because you've interpreted a certain way, you then will have some type of action, right? We act a certain way. And over time, that act repetitively becomes a behavior. And so the idea is, how can we unwind everything and figure out why specifically? Because there's always a reason. We're not born not loving ourselves. There's only two fears in the world that we're born with: loud noises and falling. Everything else you picked up in your own life. So if you can wire it, you can unwire it. So figuring out specifically what it is that's eating you, and the whole idea of time heals is pretty much BS, because time doesn't heal. Time just masks things and allows it to manifest later in different ways. So really cracking the egg wide open, figuring out what is that happened in your life that, for lack of a better term, broke you, and how can we look at that in a different light, interpret it differently, tell ourselves a different story, start to take different actions, and build a different behavior.
Yeah, because a lot of that then creates self-sabotage over and over and over again. And then you just keep hardwiring. Oh, see that belief, it's true. I'm this or I'm that. So if somebody, because here's the thing, I don't know what it's like in the States, but here in Canada, therapy is very expensive. So for somebody who is listening to this, they're like, oh, that's me. And they want to, they want to kind of start going in a more self-help, personal development kind of direction. What would be some things that you could recommend? Like, is there some books, or is there some like content, or do you have some content you can refer them to that would be like a good starting point? Because I think the thing that becomes really tricky is when you're in the beginning stage of personal development, you know, there's stuff that needs to go on and that you need to fix, but there's so many things that are going on that you can't quite put your finger on. Mm-hmm. Self-sabotage is also sometimes very hard to identify, and those patterns. So what would be some things that you could recommend to people to kind of set them at least on the beginning part of this journey?
Honestly, I would have to recommend Tony Robbins' Awaken the Giant Within, only because that was the beginning of the complete, utter transformation in my life. It opened me up to NLP. It gives you some exercises that you can do on your own that can help you start to dig and potentially rewire some of that. Another thing, I mean, you could follow me, and I'm always giving out inspiration. And for anyone that's here, for anyone that happens to be a listener of your podcast, I can even go one step farther. If they share this with a friend and get the word out there of what you're doing, because your work is amazing, and they share it and let us know, let you and I know both that they shared this with a friend, I'd be more than happy to give them a free one-on-one for 30 minutes just to talk about whatever's going on in their life and see if we can start to make some progress in whatever it is that might be holding them back.
Oh, wow. That's so nice. That's very generous.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because I know a lot of the people that do listen to the podcast are drawn to, you know, overcoming adversity. And, you know, I know that I'm drawn to that. And it's because I, you know, in my own personal life, like I've gone through so many, I like to say the dark night of the soul where, you know, it's like I'm crawling my way out and it's like, why, you know, why? And when I started to figure out the why and what it was rooted in and that self-sabotaging pattern, when you start to trace it back, you're like, oh, this theme weaves into everything I've ever experienced that has been incredibly unpleasant.
Yeah. And it's interesting because believe it or not, a lot of what I uncover when I start doing the deep mindset work is a lot of it stems from your childhood, some way, shape, or form. And people, if they think long and hard enough, and sometimes they already know, they just kind of avoid it, but they know the specific event. Like, this happened in my life when I was 7 years old and it forever traumatized me. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to work on. Because if you don't go back to the thing that broke you, how is it that you're ever going to truly fix it? Mm-hmm. And so figuring out, like, getting to the heart of it and being able to kind of unravel it and tell yourself a different story has such a transformative and profound effect on everything. Your, like, your mental health and your physical health, because I know there's some people who I've worked with that have had such high levels of stress, anxiety, self-sabotage that they start to manifest autoimmune disorders and they have like IBS, and all of a sudden they unravel these things and they start to feel a lot better and their body starts to feel a lot better. Mm-hmm. So it really will transform you from the inside out.
Yeah, actually in my yoga course, that's what they taught us, that the body holds on to everything.
Everything.
So like all the thoughts that you think every time you have a negative thought, because you have like your voluntary muscles and, you know, you can basically, you don't think that you're telling your arm like, okay, move, but you are. And then you have like your emotions control like your internal organs and the muscles around your internal organs.
Absolutely.
And then you have the little muscles around like your heart, and those ones are, you know, you can't control those at all. But through controlling your breath and controlling your emotions, everything else in your body can fall into harmony. And so they taught us, if, you know, you're experiencing pain in your body or some kind of, you know, dis-ease, it started first somewhere in your psyche and in your mind. Mm-hmm. So yeah. And that would be actually a good place to start, is eating healthy also, because if you're not eating foods that are good for you, your brain cannot think either. And that's like a very good place to start.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. With your moods and everything. So, okay. So something you had said that I also really liked was, when you had kind of hit your breaking point and you had your rock bottom, you decided that it was also going to be like the best thing that ever happened to you. And so when people go through difficult times, often, you know, you can kind of get stuck into a bit of the victim mindset, you know, because it's painful and no one likes to experience that. But what I really liked was that you said it's the meaning that you give to the lessons.
Absolutely.
So, and here, as I say that, I'm like, I don't know if it's possible. I'd like to say it's possible for everybody to self-reflect in that way. But in the other way, I've met some people where I'm like, I don't know if this person can, I'm just thinking, you know, actually see themselves in that way. Like, do you think it's possible for people to be able to have their painful life experiences become a blessing, or is that only with self-awareness? Because I realize shift gears on that question halfway through it.
Yeah, but. you absolutely need to be self-aware, but you can have somebody sitting next to you and walking you through, okay, let's look at what it is that's happening to you. Mm-hmm. How can we tell ourselves a different story right now? So I truly believe everything happens for a reason, but guess what? We get to decide what that reason is. And at any moment in time, you can tell yourself a different story. If a tornado just came through and ripped your house in half, you might be telling yourself all the reasons why life just got over on you and you just got screwed. Mm-hmm. Or you have the option, should you choose to do so, to tell yourself a completely different story. Hey, you know what? I didn't like that house anyway. I'm going to go get a better one. You know what? Now this, hey, maybe I can take a few days off work now and I can just sit back and kind of hang out and chill. Okay. So we always have this opportunity to tell ourselves a completely different story. Mm-hmm. It's up to you to start looking for things that shine in more of a positive light. We can become so addicted to looking at the negative. Negative thinking in and of itself becomes a habit that gets hardwired into your brain. So you can spend your whole entire life blaming, giving excuses, saying that you got just screwed over and I'm in this bad place. The moment you tell yourself a different story, everything changes. You just have to pause for a moment and allow yourself to look for something different. Mm-hmm. That's where anyone can do it, but you have to consciously do it. You're not just gonna wake up one day thinking negatively and continue down a negative path and have the lights go off and all of a sudden you're illuminated. You have to look for it consciously. You have to take control and say, you know what? I'm tired of feeling like this. And at the time, I was just sick and tired of feeling sick and tired. And I was sick and tired of being angry. And I just stopped. And the interesting part was I'm the one that got myself in all the trouble that I ever got into. But I had the gall to blame everyone else. Mm-hmm. And life just keeps screwing me over, even though I was just a wild young guy that was going out like drinking and getting into fights and all this other stuff. But the moment I looked for a different story, I found one. You could tell yourself anything you want. You're the director of your own life. You get to write the story. You get to write the ending. You get to write every single page of every single chapter. What are you going to write? Hmm. That's the question.
Yeah. And gratitude in and of itself can transform what you start attracting to yourself as well, because I feel like what you're experiencing inside, we often reflect or see reflected back to us in our external world and our environment. Oh,
not often, all the time.
It's so true. And so like if you're having a bad day, it's like everything seems to spiral. Or if you're having a good day, everything seems to work out. But the point is to try to make it so that every day is a good day. So, okay. I like to ask different guests this question. Sure. So
bring it on.
it's in relation to other people. Was that something that you struggled with? Because I know who you surround yourself with is who you become the most alike. What does that journey look like for you? Who you allow into your life and who you've had to, you know, set boundaries with and who you've had to say, you know what, this person is not good to have in my life, because that would probably be something that you would have had to have gone through as well.
I have about 3 really good friends in my life right now. And that's by design. Mm-hmm. I've let go of everything that didn't serve me, whether it was a relationship I had with another person, whether it was a friend that I grew up with and we were super close, but we were close doing the wrong things together. there came a time where I knew that I just needed to not surround myself with that. The friends that I have, like Sam being one of them, I love them. They have my heart and I look at them more like family, and they're all positive driven people. There's not a single person that I hang out with that is negative, that is not trying to climb higher in their life. And I'll steal a quote that my good friend, and I also look at him like a mentor, what he told me. And he's my age. I'm 38 years old. So he's around my age and he's retired. He's had just a wild entrepreneurial career and he's done, married, having kids now. And so I look up to everything he says. And he looked at me and he said, you know, what does an airplane need to do to take off? It needs to go down the runway, right? But it needs to be at full throttle. And one of the hardest things the plane will do is detach from the ground. But you need to be at full throttle and you need to be able to detach. The ground wants you to stay there. By the laws of physics, a plane should not fly. But the pilot knows that if it cranks down full throttle and keeps going fast, it will detach from the ground. So in your life, on your journey, you really have to go full throttle. And the ground wants you to stay grounded. It's like all those people in your life that want you to just kind of stay where they are. They're not moving forward and they would love it if you just stayed there stagnant with them. But you have to learn how to move forward. And once you detach from the ground at full throttle, there's always a little bit of turbulence. And so as you're just moving faster and faster towards your goal, all of a sudden you hit these challenges. And you look down and you realize that you left all these people behind, but they weren't for you in the first place. Mm-hmm. And you go through all this turbulence, these challenges, but you're going so fast that you just tear right through them. And then eventually it's smooth sailing. So the only way you get there is going full throttle and letting go of anything and everything, everyone, every circumstance, every situation that tries to hold you back from where you want to go.
Yeah, because I, a few months back, had done a post about setting boundaries and who you surround yourself with. And I had a few people reach out to me and they were just saying, like, how do I do that? Because actually one person in particular, and he was saying that he doesn't really feel like he has many people in his life as it is. And so what he was explaining his struggle was, well, I don't really have that many people in my life to begin with, even though they're negative and not good for me. And I know that I don't want to spend time with these people. And my response was, it's better to be alone and to experience that loneliness and focus on the things that you can change. Because once you start to change, you begin to attract different quality of people into your life. But do you have any thoughts on that? Because I know a lot of people are struggling right now with feeling very lonely, and there is so much negativity online. Like, oh, I had to literally stop looking at social media and I'm just on there to post. And it's not, I'm not even on there as frequently now. I'm just, because there's so much negativity. Do you have any sort of recommendations for people with A, struggling with the loneliness, and then B, like the negativity and social media that's like constantly streaming fear and blasting it at you?
I think, you know, one answer can really get at both of those questions is find a mentor. Find somebody that is where you want to be in life. And if you want to be in the garbage, well, then, you know, you'll find someone that's in the garbage and you can hang out with them. But if you're looking to make yourself better, there's always going to be someone out there. And what I've realized is that true leaders, if there's a leader in an industry and you reach out, now I'm not saying go reach out to like a superstar actor, because you just probably won't get a response. Mm-hmm. But if there's another true leader that's around you, that's forging a path of where you want to go, reach out to them. Talk to them, build new connections. We're human beings. We can talk to other people. We can make new friends. We can introduce ourselves to a whole new group of people. Find someone that you can look up to and model them. And if possible, get a mentor. have them mentor you or find someone who can. And as a, when it comes to social media, you have 100% control over that. If if there's something in your feed that you don't like, unfollow it and get rid of it. You can sit there and you can continue to see the same thing every day. And you're like, man, this person is so negative. And oh man, it's just, you know, I've known this person since high school. So I'm just going to keep looking at this. Just erase it, get rid of them, get them off your friends list. So that it's simply that easy. And there's, guess what? There's a lot of negativity, but I don't have one negative person. And there's probably like 3,000 people that I interact with, you know, when I post something, they're all positive people. Nobody's saying garbage and junk. There is also a lot on the other side. It's just, what are you looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't watch the news. Like, that's another thing. I stay away from it.
Yeah, definitely. I know I had to do the same thing because there was just so much there for a while where everyone was sharing and people are sending me stuff and that's all everyone's talking about.
Yeah, I typically don't know what's going on unless my wife tells me.
Yeah, exactly. And this is what I've recently said. I'm like, it does not help me to know what's going on at every corner of the planet at any given time. And for years, I actually did not watch the news and I didn't start watching it and kind of tuning in until everything that happened in the year that just passed that won't be named. And
so tuned in at the wrong time.
Well, and it was such a reminder because I noticed how much it affected my mental health. And I was like, you know, it's like such an energy vampire, like being so, you know, obsessed with all of these things happening around the world. And then you miss out on all of the beautiful, amazing things that are also happening all around you, but you're just so focused on the negative. So I was like, okay, yes, I remember now why I didn't watch the news before. And I'm going to go back to that. So, excuse me. All right. Well, what would be some things that you would recommend to somebody who is currently working a job, let's say, that they really don't like, and sort of a first step in building their own kind of business? What would be something that you could recommend?
The first thing is develop an expertise. If there's something that you're somewhat interested in, you have a passion about, spend your nights and weekends learning as much as you can about it. The more you can become an expert, the better chance you have at making a genuine success of yourself doing the thing that you love. So that's number one, is become an expert, whatever it is that you truly love. And for the most part, what's the good part about that is most people are already experts at something, especially the people that I work with. I work with a lot of coaches and I work with energy coaches, spiritual healers, people who are coaching people how to get rid of eating disorders. A lot of it is stuff that you've gone through your whole life and you've learned it over the course of years. And now you just want to give that back. So a lot of times the good thing is we already are experts. And then the next part of it is business is really two simple blocks. The first is your product or your service. So once you are already an expert at something, then you just have to master the other block, which is figuring out, how do I market and sell this thing? So marketing and sales is the other end of any business. And for me, this is what tripped me up, because I always wanted to help people, but I never wanted to sell anything. And then you'll realize, guess what? If you never sell anything, you're never going to get out of the job that you hate. And this thing that you're passionate about will be always just something you're passionate about, and you'll never get to do it. So you really have to master marketing and sales. And you can take any business, as long as you are good, as long as you're an expert at what you do, you figure out how to package up your expertise into a box, market it and sell it, and you will make yourself a massive success. And it doesn't matter what you do. People have built businesses out of the weirdest things. there's an audience for everything. Just figure out what you're passionate about, develop an expertise, and go sell it to the world. And that way you're going to serve more people, And guess what? You'll be able to say goodbye to that job that you don't like, and you'll wake up every single day and get to do something you love.
Mm. My throat is going all funny on me here. Actually, marketing, though, is something that does not come easy.
I know.
Like marketing and branding and trying to figure all of that out and then tying it up into a nice little package that is sellable. And then you have to know how to sell. That's actually something that I've been trying to figure out, because people are like, oh, you should do this and you should do that. And here's all these great ideas. And I'm just like, that's the part I struggle with. I'm very creative and I want to help people, but I'm like, the marketing business mindset does not come easy to me.
Mm.
So
it didn't for me either.
Yeah. Well, have you heard of Coursera?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So I'm taking there's a marketing course on there that I'm taking, and there's like tons and tons of free courses for anyone listening. Coursera.org is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's free university courses that you can take. Yeah. Maybe they're not like, you know, you don't get credits for them, but it's free knowledge and education. So that's actually something that I'm doing, because people keep telling me, oh, like you should do this and you should do that. And I'm like, if you go and you look at my Instagram feed, it is like, there's so many things going on. I don't have like well, this is perfect though. It's perfectly imperfect. My life is not perfect. And my Instagram feed is not all nice and tidy either.
And it doesn't need to be, you know, so many people, when they first start out, they think they need so many things. I need the shiny website, and then I have to go and I have to get this and I have to get that. And then, oh, you know, I should make a digital course, because you need one of those to start a business. And I tell people, I'm like, you don't need any of that. Your marketing can be free. So a lot of what I specialize in is organic content marketing, which is just selling your products through Instagram or Facebook, through the content that you put out there, getting people interested in your product or service through your messaging. How are you talking to them? Letting them know a few things. Number one, who do you serve specifically? You have to pick a niche. You can't just say, this is for everyone, even though it probably is, especially when it comes to coaching. You could probably help everyone, but you can't say that, because if you are marketing to everyone, you're really speaking to no one. So you pick a niche, number one. Number two is you have to be able to relay, what is the specific problem you solve? How do you solve it? What is the friction that you leave out? Meaning, I could be a nutrition coach and I can say, oh, I can help you lose 20 pounds. Don't eat carbs for the next 17 years. And you might say, well, I can help you lose that. And you don't have to cut out carbs for the next 17 years. So figure out what separates you from your competition by speaking about things you don't do. And then be able to articulate what it is that you feel like. And I can give it to you in the pretense of my business is, I had a business for years and I was a coach, and all I wanted to do was help people. And I was posting every single day on Instagram, and I was posting and posting and posting, and no sales came in. And meanwhile, I saw all these other people and I said, well, they're making all these sales. Maybe I need a bigger following. Maybe I just need 100,000 followers and then I'll make money. And then I realized that I didn't need that. Then I said, well, maybe I need a website. And then I realized I didn't need that. It really all came down to being able to package up my expertise in a box. So you figure out how to structure an offer is something that I teach people. Then you figure out, what is your content marketing strategy? You have to get people to know, like, and trust you. So you need to understand specifically, how do you translate that to content? Then you have to know how to sell. I specialize in high ticket offers. So the coaches that I work with, they're looking to get out of their corporate job just the way that I was. And if you're working a corporate job and you're doing this as a side hustle on nights and weekends, you are not going to leave your corporate job selling $100 at a time. You need to package up your expertise into a high ticket offer. So we sell in the thousands, and it's not like selling someone a pack of gum. You have to understand the sales process. So what I do is I take people who don't know how to grow their business. I help them package up their offer. I develop a content marketing strategy, everything from niche to messaging to translating content into a knowability, likability, and trust, and then being able to actually sell it. How is it that we're compelling people to speak to us, and how do we sell this offer for thousands of dollars? And knock on wood, till date, there hasn't been a single person that's been through my 90-day program that has not sold thousands of dollars. And this is people who've never even had a business before. So you just have to know those tools. So anyone can really do it. My advice, really, if you are looking to do something, go find someone else that did it before you and go study every move that they did. If you have the means and the funds to do so, get a coach. I was struggling for years, and it wasn't until I decided to take a plunge and say, you know what, I'm going to go hire a coach. And I had a pretty big corporate job that offered me a nice paycheck. So I invested in the best coaches out there. And after 4 years of trial and error, I finally took what I learned from four different coaches. I took those little golden nuggets, the things that really move the needle forward in your business, and I package them all up into 90 days. So basically, I can give someone everything that I've learned in 4 years inside of 90 days. So it's really long answer to a short question, but what is it that you really need to do? Study from someone who's been there. You can take all, like Coursera, awesome. Yeah, you'll learn a lot of good things. You could take every freebie on the market. Nothing will ever replace having a mentor sitting next to you, showing you, don't do this, do this, and this is how you do it. If you want to compress time, if you want to sit there and spend 5 years trying to figure it out on your own, you can do that. But how valuable is your time? So you got to really think, how do you compress time? So for me, I will never stop investing in mentors and coaches, because that's how I've literally grown light years in very short periods of time, is learning from people who have what I want. And that's going to be one of the best things that you can do.
Yeah. Cause the benefit of having a mentor or a coach is that they can tell you, hey, that's not a good idea, or hey, that's a good idea, or, you know, focus, like narrow your focus, because I think that you can end up with a lot of good ideas, or just a lot of ideas, and then trying to figure out how to put it into like one place so that it makes sense. I'm speaking from personal experience, and like, you know,
people tend to overcomplicate it. It's really a lot simpler than it is. And you don't need anything, really. You just need your expertise. And if you already have your expertise, and you have a social media account, you have a business. You just have to learn how to market and sell it. Mm-hmm. Really, it's that simple. You don't, nowadays, you can have a website. Yeah, it's great, but you really don't need one. You can have all of these fancy things that you really don't need. You really just need to understand marketing. That's really the key to everything. And if you understand that, it's what helped me leave a multiple six-figure corporate job to buy an amazing house and just move just for the heck of it. It allowed me to have my wife quit her job, and she's my photographer. So we're going off and doing this thing together. So learning how to turn your passion into a business will give you really everything that you want, because I think everyone wants to do something that they love. They want to wake up every day, and like, you don't want to wake up every morning and do something that sucks. You want to do something that's awesome. And it's not wrong to get compensated for your time and expertise. It's actually a disservice if you're not, because it's a disservice to you, because you're going to end up doing something else that doesn't light you up, and then your life sucks. And then there's the other people who you have an opportunity to touch and help. You're not going to be able to get in front of them because you're too busy doing this thing that you don't love. You really, it's like getting past that mindset as well too. Like, can I really charge? Like, who am I to charge someone?
Oh yeah.
Well, you know, you owe it to yourself, and you owe it to the people that are out there that need what you have.
Yeah. Actually, that's been my own personal hurdle has been, the difficulty in being like, oh yeah, okay, I want to help people, but charging for it. And it's funny because it's something that they also taught us that in our yoga course, is that you have to charge people. You have to charge people for what you're offering. There has to be some kind of an exchange. But oftentimes when you're in these sort of lines of wanting to provide service, to, you know, just help people, I want to make the world a better place, it's like you all often struggle with the guilt of, oh, but I feel like I should do it all for free. But with that being said, people actually don't appreciate things for free. They don't value it as much. So you're doing a disservice to yourself when you're not charging for your time. And I'll use my artwork as an example. I taught myself Photoshop 3 months ago, three or four months ago. And now I'm creating all this art. And, at first I was like, oh, I'll just, you know, price it pretty like low. And when I actually then started doing the work, because I take a lot of time and I'm putting all this time into it, and I actually started crunching the numbers, I was like, well, that's great, Shanti, you're making $6 an hour. I was like, this is ridiculous. So I had to, like, you know, and that was like the first couple of, you know, clients that I had. But anyways, I had to come back, sit down, and I came up with like a sort of like a tier of like the different things that I would offer at different rates. And I significantly,
I bet your price is still too low.
That's what I've been told.
But you know, here's the thing, your, whatever it is, whatever product or service you have, I like to think of it as a really expensive pair of sunglasses, right? Because I can go to the store and I can buy a $5 pair of sunglasses. If I happen to lose them on my way out of the store, okay. Or if I scratch them up or I drop them and I step on them, whatever, they were $5. If you have a $1,000 pair of designer shades, you're going to make sure they don't get scratched. You're going to make sure that you wipe them down and you take care of them and you don't lose them. You always know where they are. They have their little space in your drawer. The same thing is with your product or services. If you're giving what you have away, and it could be coaching, it could be an actual physical product, like a piece of art, how easy is it for someone to throw that out? If I gave away my coaching services for $10, how easy is it for you to not do the things that I tell you to do? Mm-hmm. And then it's a waste of your and my time, which is more valuable than money. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's the first part of it. And then one question that really shifted everything for me was, you know, I wanted to get out of my corporate job. It was totally killing me. It was just eating me from the inside out. I kept telling myself, I know I'm here for something more than this. I want to be able to serve people. I want to be able to help people, but I was really unwilling to start selling. And I had a mentor say, okay, well, what's more uncomfortable? Is it more uncomfortable selling your services, or is it more uncomfortable spending your entire life living and working in a job that you hate that is eating your soul away? You pick.
Yeah, that's actually a very good way of putting it.
I chose coaching.
Yeah, well, you have to kind of get over that little initial phase of like, ooh, and charging, like, you know, if you have like friends that come to you, or like, you know, being able to charge your, you know, serve, still have your fees be paid, even though it's a, you know, your friends coming to you. And like, that's where you can kind of get a little like messed up, like, oh, maybe I should do this for free because they're my friends. But you should charge your friends also, and they should be happy to support you and
absolutely
in what you're doing. And if you have friends that want something from you for free, I might be questioning the friendship just a little bit. Well, thank you so much. I want to ask, where can people find you?
The best place is on Instagram at Raf Garay. I have a website, rafaelgaray.com, but really Instagram is my most active platform. You'll see me either making a story or posting a piece of content several times a week. So if you see me there, shoot me a DM. Always happy to just chat with people. And I just love meeting new people who are driven to do something. So you can find me there, connect with me, and I look forward to seeing everyone.
Awesome. Well, I will probably be shooting you a message. I'm like, Raf, I need coaching. I got to figure this thing out. Well, thank you so much for your time. You have an interesting story. It's fascinating and inspiring. And I've really enjoyed chatting with you today. I was just so many questions.
It's been an utter pleasure. This was fun. So thank you so much for just having me on the show and actually thinking that my story is interesting, because for me, I look at it and it's just, you know, it's my life. So the fact that I have an opportunity to get in front of a new audience and share something to what other people see as really inspiring, that's really my life's mission, is to light people up, to light that fire, show them that anything is possible, and give them the tools to help turn that dream into a reality. So thank you so much for giving me an opportunity to touch a few more hearts out there. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. And I truly do mean, it's a very inspiring story. And it's because, you know, I think oftentimes people can reach a point where, you know, they're struggling so much that it's like, I can't do anything. So why do anything? So when you hear somebody who has gone through that and to see where they're sitting today, it's very, very inspiring. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, I hope you have a wonderful day, and hey, enjoy your move and your new beginning in Arizona.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Shanti Ma Podcast. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and if you did, please subscribe and leave a review. Have a fantastic day. Until next time.